Welcome, folks, to the October 26th Aries Working Group call. We are glad you're here. I need to update the summary. It's not quite accurate, but we are a Hyperledger call, and so the antitrust policy and the code of conduct are in effect, and those links are listed here. Please holler if you have issues, and we can help resolve them. You're welcome to add yourself to the attendees list. I will add the chat or the link back into the chat. Is there anyone new here that would like to introduce themselves? I think I might recognize almost everybody. Oh, glad you're here. Announcements. IW is coming. It will be good. If you have not been before, I highly recommend it. It is in person out in Mountain View, but the cost is relatively low for a conference of that size and length, and it is an excellent use of time. Anoncreds is a Hyperledger project. Stephen, update.
Yes, we had the meeting last Thursday. The proposal was accepted and published, so the hype has been the hip, I guess, the Hyperledger improvement.
Oh, hype sounds so much better, though.
I know, doesn't it? I'm so used to that.
We used to call them hypes. Is someone calling them a hip now?
This is a Hyperledger hip.
Oh, it's not an indie hype.
Exactly.
Oh, well. Okay.
So,
Kind of hip.
proposal is now published. I did have a conversation with the Hyperledger folks, and we will be, and with the Anoncred specification working group, we'll be merging that effort into the new project. So that's exciting. And likely announcement coming at IIW.
Very cool. I was just in the Open Wallet Foundation technical work stream call, which conveniently overlaps this one by half.
Yeah.
And Anoncreds was listed as a top level like thing, like
Okay, good.
MDL, payment tokenization, W3C credentials, and Anoncreds, which kind of made
Good.
me smile a little, but it was represented there. So I think that the timing of all of this has turned out quite well. So excellent work.
Cool. Excellent.
Cool. Anything that needs to happen here for those that are interested in supporting?
The one other thing, well, there'll be a bunch of things happen. There's an entire very long checklist of things to turn this into, set up the project and so on. So that work is underway. One thing I would note in parallel, so sorry, to complete that, things will happen, and people will, if you can help out and where it makes sense for you to jump in, folks, please do. The other thing that's been going on with Anoncreds is W3C format, and so we now have a back and forth script for both VCs and Anoncreds credentials into the W3C format as a verifiable credential, and a Anoncreds proof, Anoncreds presentation converting back and forth between being a between both a W3C verified credential and a verifiable presentation. And so next week in the Anoncreds working group, we'll have a discussion about which is the preferred way to present that. But we have both representations now implemented. And so we'll be going over that. But that's kind of interesting. So Anoncreds, credentials and presentations as W3 in the W3C format is now clearly achievable. And now we're into the details of what it should look like exactly, as opposed to, is it even possible? So that's an interesting conversation.
It is. It would be interesting to have a conversation about how that applies to Aries specifically when we get to that point, either
Yes.
for a non-creds two is a little bit later and sort of adoptable as part of that whole effort.
Yeah.
If there is desire and a proposal on how we could do that sooner for the existing non-creds implementations, then that would be interesting to talk about here too.
My kind of leaning is that the first and easiest step, just to throw this out there, is simply the Anoncreds code would basically sniff the packet coming in, the package, the data coming in. Oh, it's in W3C format, and then put it into a neutral format, into a whatever format is used to actually process the data. And that would allow us to accept either, and then we can begin a transition to, sending one or the other.
Yes. Cool. Excellent. Anything else on Anoncreds?
Nope, that's it.
I will mention that I started an argument on Twitter yesterday about predicates and whether true predicates as provided by Anoncreds are worth it or not. So that's a little peripheral, but I thought I'd mention it in the group. I don't have a link handy because I didn't think about sticking in the agenda, but I will find that if folks are interested in reading. There's been some good discussion there already, and I expect that to go on for like another day or two. And I expect Ori to pull out popcorn at some point. So
Yep.
Cool. Lance, thanks for bringing us. Oh, by the way, Stephen, thank you for hosting last week. And then Lance here, we've got this later on in the agenda to talk further, and I hope that's a useful conversation. But yes, folks that are interested, Lance is organizing efforts around DidConv V2 adoption, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about it in a second. One thing on Anoncreds, just to make everybody aware. We're super excited about that effort and want to be tracking it closely. And we also have a working group starting in the Cardano blockchain. There's essentially something called a Cardano SSI Alliance, just to do an Anoncreds effort over there. So, I guess Animo had done, a bunch of stuff with Checked or CheckD, however you say that. And, we want to have essentially a sibling project in the Cardano space. So, yeah, we're excited about the Anoncred stuff.
Excellent.
Awesome. Does anyone have the definitive way on how to pronounce Checked or CheckD?
Yes, please help.
Okay. I've always thought it was Checked, but the questioning of all of this has me questioning what I thought, but I don't think I have a good reason why I thought it was that. So one of us should try and chase down the actual name.
Check sounds better.
I think it's Checked based off of previous conversations, but that's take a large grain of salt.
Okay, let's proceed with Checked until someone says you're doing it wrong. Okay, very cool. Another weird announcement thing here that I'll mention is that I was gone last week. I was invited to come speak at the Open 3D Con. O3D is a Linux Foundation 3D engine project. And you're like, why is an identity guy talking about 3D? Well, they had a metaverse track, and I was invited to talk about identity. And one of the things that I wanted to sort of report back on was that, number one, the group was to the point where they needed to start understanding identity. They were talking, for example, about how in a multi-world metaverse scenario, different worlds could insist on only rendering authentic things that were obtained in another metaverse world. The example that became popular in conversation was a Gucci bag. If you buy a Gucci bag in one world, and you have another world that cares about them being authentic, and not all of them have to, how would they actually know that you really purchased a Gucci bag and that you didn't simply right click and copy and paste NFT style? And so they were ready for that conversation, and so we talked about of course about the usefulness of verifiable credentials and making trust portable. And that was trusted data portable. So that was really good. But the other thing is that they were not ready for discussions about various credential types, or about the various signature suites, or features of credentials yet. And so it was a cool experience, both to recognize how ready they are to begin learning this stuff, but also the level that you have to begin teaching at, which is not, hey, let's fight about Anoncreds. But like, hey, this is what a credential is and what it does. And so it was a really cool experience. did preclude me from being involved with. And so I appreciate those picking up Slack to help that happen. But I just thought that was interesting and wanted to sort of share that per my experience there.
That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. One thing that I thought of, I don't know if let's say, for instance, you watch like YouTube channels or listen to podcasts, and then sometimes, podcasts will cross-pollinate or, YouTube channels will cross-pollinate where they, host each other. I feel like in a metaverse, that's a similar concept, right? That you can carry some piece of one part of the metaverse with you into another so that there's cross-pollination between, entities that can grow together. So just another thought.
That was definitely the desire. This group was maybe smaller in the metaverse space, i.e. Facebook was not a participant in this particular group, to put it lightly, right? And so, so this is decidedly a group that cares about this being open and not dominated by any one vendor. Now, I realize that there are some dominant vendors, and so they, may not care about the same things exactly, but it was really cool to be able to share. And I hope that as our technology matures just a little bit farther, I feel like we're almost there. We can actually, any of us could approach a coding community of any kind, not just 3D worlds, but anyone who needs identity, which is basically anybody, and give them an intro and an on-ramp on how you might start using this. And I'm really excited about that prospect because, Ori was joking about the fact that, hey, we don't do this, right? Ori was also there. He lives in Austin where it was. And so he mentioned like, no, identity people only talk to identity people about identity. We don't talk to non-identity people. He was joking, of course. but it seems like a lot we talk amongst ourselves, which is good. And there's lots of deep conversations we can have, but it's also delightful to talk about those that are that are non-identity people and begin to spread awareness and understanding of what technologies we have developed and how they can actually be really useful to the projects they're working on now. And so that's very cool.
Totally.
Cool. Release status and work updates.
O75 of AcaPi will go out today. We got 075 release candidate 0 ready, and then someone jumped forward with, hey, we've got a couple other PRs we want in that. So we wound up last week doing another release and getting that ready. And of course that's more cherry picking, which is a pain. So anyway, much appreciation to Colton for the work he did, and 075 will go up today.
Nice.
Officially.
Other projects want to update on their status?
Let me do a plug for Aries VCX. They've done a lot of work sort of reorganizing the project. There's always been steady progress on that, but they're have moved to weekly meetings on the project, a meeting page, a roadmap, and they did a pile of work on interop testing as well. So lots happening in the Aries VCX project. So those that are interested in a Rust implementation of all good things Aries, Aries VCX is certainly amping up its efforts and focus on a roadmap alignment with AIP2. And general interop, and of course that gives a with a Rust basis, that gives you a good foundation for server side or wallet mobile applications based on that. So Aries VCX, for those not aware, spun out of originally Evernim did a pile of work inside Indy called VCX, or Verifiable Credential Exchange, and focusing in particular on just the exchange of credentials. And so When that work was left, a group primarily at Absa Bank, but a number of folks in that ecosystem took the Indie VCX, pulled it out, and created Ares VCX. And they've since, as mentioned, evolved it to be, you know, in line with the rest of the Ares frameworks, and now have this renewed focus on AIP2 and interop across the different frameworks.
So very cool. So we've got Askar for wallet. We have Indie VDR for the Indie Ledger access, and this is Ares VCX.
This is like everything Ares in Rust. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thanks for giving that background. I didn't really know the history.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
Excellent.
Other appreciate that. Other projects with any updates? All right.
For the AFJ, we have released the, we have merged to the main branch, the 030. So we are now in the test phase for the 030 alpha, let's say. And hopefully it will incorporate all those topics you already have there. The present proof V2, the support for AIP2. And also we are working on the adaptations for the Ares test harness to add new tests for in order to check if it's working fine with the newer protocols that, because previously in the test harness we only used the scope of AIP1, so now we would like to run everything on the AIP2. But for the moment we only support the Indie credentials. Hopefully in a few weeks or so we will add the JSON-LD credential support. And well, let's see how it works.
Excellent. I will mention related to expanding credential supports that our Daniel Bloom here is will be demonstrating on an Indicio community meetup thing using JSON-LD credentials with ACAPI. And so this is a part of an increasing effort to help people understand that Ares is more than about Indie credentials. And to show them rather than tell them is a beginning step to make that happen.
Just to add on to what Ariel was saying there about AIP2, especially Sam with what you're saying there about JSON-LD credentials, we were very close to getting issue credential V2 for JSON-LD into this release 030. We didn't quite make it, so the work's done, and there is a load of work done for present proof as well. But it's just going through its final kind of stages of peer review, as it were. So that's that will come very, very soon. Whether there'll be a 0.3.5 release, or whatever, I'm not quite sure what team has got in mind, but that's coming very soon, as Ariel says. I think he said in the next few weeks. I would say that's probably realistic. So we are excited about that, and hopefully that will be there soon.
I'm also very excited about that. The ability for this to bubble up and be available to bifold based on AFJ is also really exciting to me.
Indeed, yes.
Cool. Any other project updates before I go too fast? All right. Stephen ran an excellent agenda last week, and we had some holdover stuff. And so we first, there's the minor versions PR. Stephen, you mentioned you would like to talk about this briefly today. We have the notification, the push notification PRs, and then I wanted to revisit the static site generator, and of course the DIDCOM V2 adoption, what we can need to do to make that happen, or where is the work happening, etc. So that's kind of what I had on the agenda. Are there any adjustments we ought to make before we get going? Order, inclusion, new topics, anything?
I think the push notifications, we need to get people that know about that on the call. I don't know anything about it. So I'd like to talk about 727 maybe, but not the push notifications unless we've got expertise ready to handle that. I think that should be a topic in and of itself.
We do have some expertise here from the Indicio side, but not full coverage to all of those PRs.
Yeah, and in particular, I don't think, looking at it, I don't see Timo, I don't see Berend on the call that I think are the two that raised it.
Yeah, so. I'm happy to speak to push notifications because we've been doing some work on this and whatnot, but I think that it would be wise to have Animo, Timo, Brand involved.
So let's try something. Can someone ping Timo or Brand and see if they might be able to attend? And then we'll see if they're here by the time we get there. And then we could talk about that topic. I think you're right, Stephen, having the right intelligence in the room will help us to do smart things.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be a topic on itself and by itself and maybe next week.
Well, if we fail today, then let's plan for next week and
there you go.
And then all warn right. them in further in advance that's going to be the topic. I think that would be excellent.
Okay, can I share? And let me get to
Yep.
All right. I wanted to share something on the a little concern I've got or question I've got. This is primarily for those that have really good knowledge of the frameworks and in here. In particular, I think we're comfortable with the whole idea of what should support. The one thing I want to highlight here, and let me increase the size of my screen so you guys have a chance of seeing what I'm going to highlight, is maybe answered with a problem report. Oh, sorry, version not supported. That one, this one is good. So basically here, what I'm talking about is you've got a version mismatch, a minor version mismatch. So somebody has sent a one minor version, 2.1, and you support only 2.0. So you send back a message saying, here's my message, it's a 2.0. And when you send a different, this says, oh, by the way, send a warning problem report message with degraded features. My concern is what is likely to be the reaction if you send back a protocol message? So you send a response back. You've already in that message indicated that it's a 0, not a 1 minor version. And then, but I'm more worried, what if the agent sends a problem report, even though it's a warning problem report? Are other sides likely to shut down the protocol? Like, oh, I got a problem report, I'm just going to shut down the protocol. Is that a concern at all?
So I have some thoughts, and I couldn't share these last week. But I think that there's a tension here between those designing protocols in the sense that what they call a minor release versus a major release, and then the sanity of the people trying to write the code. And the point that I want to make was that if you're going to stick with a minor release, the additional attributes have to be optional. Mm-hmm. And not semantically change what's going on with the message. And so if we have a scenario where you cannot proceed if they don't support the higher minor release, then perhaps the protocol ought to have been a major release instead of a minor. And so given that, I think that it should be obvious enough from the minor release on the response message, or the minor version on the response message, about the expected behavior, not And we may not need this higher level of warning that you're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Does that get to what you're asking about?
It exactly gets what I'm asking about. I'm concerned that, so basically what, I'll tell you the practical fallout of this. Shanjot on our team implemented, we had not handled out of band properly from a minor version perspective in Akapai. And so when somebody sent a minor version of out of band the minor version that we didn't support, we just rejected the message. And that was wrong. We shouldn't have done that. We should have just said, oh, we use a different minor version. So, okay, we'll accept this message and we'll process it and respond with the minor version we use, or even the one that was offered. But anyway, that's fine. But he also did this part of it that I've got highlighted, which he put in a bunch of logic for sending a warning problem report with the appropriate either degraded features or version mismatch, the second one down here. And my concern with that, and I asked him to comment it out, because my concern was, are other libraries, are other frameworks ready to receive a problem report beside an appropriate response? And are they going to get a problem report? And even though it's just a warning, just go, oh, crap, a problem report. I'm going to terminate this protocol. I don't think, you know, so I'm sort of asking two questions here. Do we leave these in, which I think are superfluous? They're information that the other side already has, because your agent responded with a different minor version, and they can just look at the minor version and say, oh, they responded with a different version than we support. Okay. So it's an extra message, and it's an extra message that is a problem report. And if the framework hasn't had implemented code to handle every type of problem report, they might just go, oh, I got a problem report. I'm not going to deal with it. It must be a problem. I don't know exactly what the problem is, but it must be a problem, so I'll just terminate.
I think at least from the Aries framework JavaScript perspective, I don't think it would cause the protocol to be crashed and aborted. Okay. I think that it seems to me it would be useful to be able to have problem reports that are warnings, and that may need to be something that can be specified in the problem report in some fashion, so that, okay. I haven't looked at the details of the problem report in a minute, so I think that seems like a useful mechanism to me. That's my two cents. I think having these, are useful because it helps highlight the mismatches between the frameworks, and that can be highlighted and surfaced easier. Even if your own framework hasn't added in the error surfacing to say, hey, this is a mismatch, or a warning to say, hey, you may want to look at this, right?
Okay.
So, and also, I think that this problem of the library not knowing how to handle problem reports can happen not only here in this in this issue, but also in other cases. So I think that that's up to the library of handling the problem reports. Maybe in a feature discovery, you only send problem reports if the other party understand that, right? Because I think that this is optional, so that can happen anytime, right?
It's true that maybe the calling that problem report makes us think that it's an actual error, and so maybe, as Colton said in the chat, we can add to this problem report protocol a severity or something like that to inform, to be explicit that maybe a problem is not, it's just a warning and not a critical error. I don't know, maybe that could be more clear for not only for current developments, but also for the ones who are going to develop new protocols in the future.
Yeah, and the idea basically behind the severity of my suggestion was just like when we log something to the logs, we already have the severity there. And the other thing to my suggestion was like an error code. And that was meant for development purposes to determine, you know, on a protocol side, hey, is this something that we can ignore without having to try to parse a string? The basic idea, like, you know, when you look at AFJ, it has all of these language strings for translation. And maybe, you know, that error code could also be used as part of that translation error for anything that is presented to the user. So it's not just dependent on what the server responds back saying the error is.
Yeah. So certainly in problem report, there is a separation of error versus warning versus problem. I'm intrigued with what problem is now that I'm looking at this. And then there should be a, so here's the full, you know, process of it. And I'm trying to see whether it is codified, as you say. I'm not seeing it.
I don't think it is. So we've stumbled into a problem where there's a problem with problem report.
Yeah.
rather than a problem with what we're trying to invoke. And I think that this is super valid in the sense that it's useful. One of the expectations here is that if this arrives as a separate message, does it arrive before or after the other one? And frankly, if it's going to arrive instead of, then the order doesn't matter. Like, right. Hey, I'm quitting this protocol. If it's arriving alongside to make it, to James's point, it easy to log and know, then the expected behavior, it cannot be tied to the synchronous behavior of other messages received.
Right.
And so I think the fact that it needs to be recognized as a parallel send in because it's a warning rather than the fact that it's the only message you can expect to get back right now.
Right.
And so just for reference, in DidComb2, the error categorization is much explicit, right?
I missed that. Say that one more time.
Yeah, on DidComb2, the error categorization is much explicit. You have a long code that you can use to determine which type of error it is.
It does, but it's still not explicit in the sense that you can binary tell if it's a parallel message or not.
Oh, no, right.
And so it may be that some update specifically to error reporting is required. I'm less concerned about the severity, although it's highly related. I'm more concerned about whether this is the only message you're going to get back from me or whether there's another message that's happening as well. And that's the semantic gap that we've got in the message. And it may be that we can just formalize a use of an existing attribute in some particular way that helps us be consistent with this or the creation of a new one. In order to solve this particular problem, we haven't used extensively error reports as much as we probably ought to have. And so the fact that we're running into this is a good sign that we're maturing this in the sense that the use of it requires more nuance. So what we probably need here, it's because my view, Stephen, is that what you wrote is good, but the implications of it, given the fact that we don't have a good way to indicate that it is in fact just a warning in the problem report message itself, is important here. And so I think that perhaps we should wait briefly on this while we do some investigation and some theorizing on how we might be able to report that. I'm willing to put some time into this. I'd also really love it if someone else would, so that they can hopefully they can catch what I don't and vice versa as we come up with a proposal here. But I think that this would definitely be something worth discussing, in this delivery of a parallel problem report. Anyone interested in discussing that with me as we try to figure it out?
Yeah, I'm up to discuss that with you, Sam. Might be looking for someone else outside our team, but
mostly I'm just looking for a separate brain. I mean, if anyone else is interested, I'm happy. But
I will some.
Okay, so I got Rodolfo and James. Okay, I will look at this. I think I have a gap in my schedule a little later today to try to come up with a proposal, and that way we can wrap out the implications of the update to the protocols RFC itself.
Okay, Sam, one thing I'd like out of it is, should I ask Shanjot to remove the commented out code or remove the comments and activate the code in ACAPI?
That sends the parallel problem report?
Yes. And any other requirements you say, like should it send it as a second message? I presume it should be a follow-on message as opposed to a... sending it before anyway.
Well, the order shouldn't matter. The order shouldn't matter. The issue is that you're sending two kind of at the same time.
Exactly.
I air quote time.
Yes.
So I would, in my brain, the right answer is for him to send the problem report from a design perspective.
Yes.
But we have to make sure that the behavior handling of a parallel message doesn't foul things up in the frameworks, and I can't be an authority there. That's got to be the folks that are writing frameworks in the problem report handling code. That have a clear understanding of what's going on. And it might be that because we are less developed on problem reports than we probably ought to be, that there won't be an effect because people are maybe only logging problem reports anyway. So yeah. I think the answer is going to be to send the problem report. But let us argue about problem reports first.
Okay.
And then I anticipate the outcome of our conversation. And Colton, I got you on the list to be a discussion next week where we have a PR against problem report that clarifies some things. And then we can run that through the maintainers to make sure that we don't foul things up.
That sounds good. The other thing... clearly, and I think I've got this on Shanjot's list, and I'm not sure where it is, but AATH needs a test where it has one library send a zero message and another library process it and see what it does. And so we try to force situations in. So we'll see how to do that.
Cool.
Yep.
Excellent. I feel like the design of minor versions was always something that we thought was a good idea. And this is where we practically see how close we were.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about this. James, your hands up.
Related thing that we ran into on minor versions recently is implementing, we've been working on implementing credential supplements, and that is a 2. Or it's a, so I think it's the third minor version in issue credential V2 and present proof V2.
It is.
The awkward thing is that as of yet, we've not implemented the multiple credentials exchange where you can receive multiple messages with multiple credentials, meaning that we support getting this merged in would mean we would support the third minor version, but not the second and the first.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's valid.
I think it is, and here's why.
In ACAPI, we're doing both. We're doing 2.2 and 2.3, or sorry, 2.1 and 2.2.
So it's always an option, even if you support 2.2, to not receive multiple credentials simultaneously by not invoking and responding with the correct formats of things. So as long as you do not puke when you get the attribute, which is a requirement of it anyway,
yeah,
then I don't think it's invalid to support 2.3 without really engaging in the functionality offered by 2.2.
And just to clarify Sam's statement there, 2.1 and 2.2.
Sorry, I was off by one.
You were.
So
a typical computer science error.
Totally, along with naming things, right? So, so that's why I didn't motivate a major version change, is that there's a difference in understanding the messages, but because of the way that 1.1 or 2.1 is designed, I'm doing it again, because the way 2.1 is designed, the other party has to participate in the multiple issuance or receipt, right?
Yeah.
Or presentation, which means that if they just don't participate, it doesn't break the protocol. It just isn't as efficient.
Okay. Yep.
Interesting. I think it's, I think that future protocols would do, would be benefited by having better separation there. Like, I don't think that's a problem here, as you have demonstrated, Sam, but I think that it definitely makes it more awkward to say the AFJ only supports these minor versions.
I generally agree with you. The fact that this one happens to work, I think, is more of an accident than anything else. And perhaps we should have pushed a major version anyway, but I think we can squeak through on this one. The difference then is that you're right. As we go forward, we should be more careful about stacking too many minor releases in because of the experience we've had, where you might want to support one but not another one.
Right.
So it may be that we found out that we can always do this because of the optionality of it. I mean, that's the other outcome here, is that because minor versions always have to be optional, then it may actually work anyway. We don't have enough experience to really call that, but anyway, good conversation. I have a task out of that to do some thinking about problem report on how you could differentiate between a parallel delivery and an only delivery in a flow of a protocol that uses a problem report. So thanks, Stephen, for giving me more. I volunteered. I can't blame you.
Enjoy.
So yes. Okay. Good. Okay. Now, do we have a Timo in the house?
Oh yes. Good.
Or a Berend? We don't, unless they are masquerading under a different name. So we are going to not talk about push notification PRs. Let's go to 727. This is opened by Steven.
It's a pretty trivial one, if you want to just look at it. It basically says we had a fail. You could send an ACK with a fail, which is pretty counterintuitive. And so the idea here is all we do is we've removed the use of fail in an ACK message.
And you're to use problem reports instead.
Yes.
Does that, Stephen, impact any other RFCs using ACKs that are using the fail? And so therefore I'm leaning to, should there be a new version versus altering the existing version?
I don't know. We could certainly do a search of that. That's a good idea. Better, what we can do is, I think we should be able to search the frameworks to see if anyone is sending an ACK fail.
That's fair.
So both search the RFCs and the frameworks for an ACK fail.
So the status must be a fail. We can search this really pretty quickly right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is tic-tac-toe.
We're less concerned with that.
Here's locks. That's just code. Here's the Axe RFC itself.
Yeah.
These are not applicable. So there are no RFCs that reference fail.
Yeah. That's what I would have thought. And I wouldn't have expect, I don't expect any of the frameworks, but I think we can look at it.
I'm okay to actually, given that there's not referenced in any RFCs, I think we can, I'm comfortable committing this. I didn't think prior to the search that there were any RFCs that explicitly used ACK in this way. ACK has been a little slightly controversial in the sense that it ended up being bigger and then it got pared substantially back down, sort of in practical use. So I'm unsurprised that there's nothing, but I'm actually okay merging this given the sort of the nascency of this and the fact that it's not present in any other RFCs as a regular flow. Does anyone object to that? Does anyone think more caution is required here? I will mention that this has been open for like a while.
Yeah.
We haven't drawn attention to it, but this was in March.
Yeah.
Is anyone opposed to merging PR727 to remove ACK fail?
I'm in favor. I think we should double check the frameworks. I don't think AFJ is doing this, but.
I would note that Timo has approved this, which kind of is a representation, a representative of AFJ.
And Stephen, I'm assuming that you would have had rocks thrown at you by your own people if ACKAPI had an issue with this.
I have not. So it does say I have to update the branch. So if maybe we leave it at that, that.
We might be able to we might just be able to do this. You did this recently-ish? Maybe not?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not in ACKAPI, but I can't imagine where we'd have done it.
I think this just worked. Huzzah! Is anyone opposed to me merging 727? We can fix this. We have the ability to change things in the future and revert if we need.
I'm fine with it.
Okay, I haven't heard any objections. You've got like the count of three or until I finish filling out this form. Okay, merging. Yay, we merged something.
Yay.
Okay.
I did merge two others yesterday, by the way, following the week-long
hiatus.
The two of the ones we discussed last week, so that's good.
Okay, so we have two topics left in 9 minutes. What do we need to talk about for the static site generator for the Aries RFC repo?
I mean, that's really just a, you know, in looking at the RFC. I had somebody, you know, mentioning that, boy, the only way to do this is to dig into each RFC that you're going to use. It should be a lot easier to understand what the Aries RFC repo is and a lot easier for someone arriving at it to know what matters in this RFC, in this repo, and what doesn't. There's a lot of, you know, it takes knowledge in the community. Yes, we do have an index that we sometimes have up to date. It's not currently up to date.
I went and looked at this and it looks like we have, it creates a PR when there is a difference that we then can merge.
Yeah.
So
in worst case, we can do it manually and that's fine. But
so I have a couple thoughts. One is that certainly the index could be updated more automatically.
Yeah.
Right.
That's,
not more automatically, but I mean in more useful ways.
Yes.
For example, we have like concept and decorator and feature and stuff.
Yeah.
But we don't like actually create anything by this. So there's two ways we could do this. One is that we change how we generate the index and we change what's on the main page itself.
Yeah.
Here, in order to help people understand. For example, you could generate several index files, one of like adopted and accepted and demonstrated, and then leaves proposed into a wholly separate file. For example, to help people gain the right idea, it's also possible for us to insert some boilerplate text either at the top here or down below to help people sort of understand what's going on.
Well, the other major thing is that the AIP is the true path into this repo. What matters is the AIP that the person wants to use. The concept of AIPs needs to be front and center. The ones that are being actively worked needs to be front and center. So that's an index that needs to exist. And
you're totally right. It needs to be highlighted in a way. So AIPs were not a twinkle in anyone's eye when this was written.
Exactly. That's my point.
And so you're totally right. So here's what we kind of need. This would be an excellent contribution by someone who's like, I don't know what to contribute, but I'd like to.
Yeah.
What we could do is consider changes to both the main markdown file, which of course you can just make, and to the script that regenerates this particular page and creates the RFC. It's actually in the repository itself under code. And so generate index is a Python file that actually does this. And a lot of the work has actually been done. And so there's some templating and some other stuff going on here, but it's fairly straightforward Python. And so this is if someone was looking for something to, you know, to improve this, then this would be an excellent way to do it. Colton, this definitely a help wanted issue, but it probably needs to be someone within our community that actually understands the relevant concerns going on here. And so if you would like to do this, but even need some guidance, then please just like you, Stephen and I, and I'm sure others would be totally willing to guide you a little in what might need to be done here. But having someone that's willing to drive this would be really useful. And I'm sure that eventually someone will get to it, but sooner is better than later to highlight the AIPs, particularly in the text here, to really call out the interop profiles here and link to the appropriate place, which isn't even an automatic generation issue. And so there's definitely some possibilities there. And so, yes, please reach out. And maybe you need to check with a team lead or something about whether this is something that you can contribute or some effort you can contribute to. I don't anticipate it being long. You know, a couple of hours would yield us some nice benefits. Lance, with 5 minutes left, what can you say about the DIDCOM V2 adoption?
Yes, thank you. Just for some quick time. The idea here is that DIDCOM V2 is exciting, and there's different pockets of effort in the agents and the Aries agent test harness for increasing DIDCOM V2 support, but it is not easy for some of our customers who are DIDCOM V2 excited. It's not easy for them to know exactly the path for ramping up their DIDCOM V2 support. And at the same time, they are not sure of the status of DIDCOM V2 support in the Aries agents, which is super important, right? A lot of people view Aries kind of as the nexus of interoperability, you know, for SSI because, you know, awesome community, right? And mature. So if you are somebody outside of the Aries community and you know, you're trying to pick how you're going to communicate between agents, you know, it would be natural to say, okay, DIDCOM V2 is the latest and it's been, you know, supported. So let's go this path, but not really understanding all of the attributes of DIDCOM V2 that you need to support in order to maximally or optimally communicate with Aries DIDCOM V2 supporting agents. So the first kind of that's kind of the big story part to it. But the first effort that I wanted to do was to essentially spreadsheet what are the important attributes of DIDCOM V2 support within the agents. So that spreadsheet that I've linked to there essentially has tabs such as We need to list the agents just to help people to be aware, you know, what agents are supporting DIDCOM V2 at this point. And then I have a tab that says implementation. So that's like, okay, so yeah, if we look at this tab, the first one, the interoperability, that essentially is like this is going to be the hardest part because this is going to bring together all the information. Okay, so eventually we want people to be able to go to this initial tab and be able to say, oh, okay, Akapai, at this point, they have DIDCOM V2 defined profiles, you know, for this. What DIDCOM V2 implementation do they use? Because maybe I want to use the same one or a different one. We don't know. Okay, so this is going to be the harder page, but the agents and implementations and DID methods and Aries agent test harness and protocols and crypto sheets should be more like, you know, just simple information about each one of those things that we think affects a DIDCOM V2 implementation. For instance, you know, it might not be obvious to somebody that, oh, if you don't support DID peer, for instance, you might have trouble, you know, communicating with some other agents that primarily use DID peer for their DIDCOM communication. So, hopefully what we've done is there's a Discord channel now under the on the Hyperledger Discord that's called Aries DIDCOM V2, I think, and Stephen was great to help create that for us. It went from essentially a thread, now we have this channel. We want to collect people together in that. I'm happy to keep going through all the documentation that is out there about DIDCOM V2 implementations that are currently happening and libraries that are available and efforts that are being made. I'll capture them in that spreadsheet and eventually get that information into, for instance, the DIDCOM V2 guidebook, et cetera. So yep, we're just getting started, but it's super exciting and we're hoping to make DIDCOM V2 adoption accelerate essentially across Aries and outside.
Lance, that was an excellent speed run. I apologize for not having a lot of time here at the end of the meeting for what I consider to be a really important topic.
No, it's no problem.
We have so many important topics. Very cool. Thank you. And jump on the Discord channel and the spreadsheet, and this will help us coordinate where we're going. I imagine we have usually a few less folks from the AF Go community, but from AFJ and Akapai as two main projects, coordinating that will be super useful in doing an option there. So we are out of time. Thank you everyone for coming. I hope your week is a fantastic one. James, I did see your note that AFJ does do fail and axe, but it's easy to remove and not used anywhere. So that's fantastic. Thanks for tracking that. And we will see you all elsewhere and next week.
Thank you.
Thank you all.